The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Dr. Ram, what you got, baby? Yes, you howl so loud it knocks you off. I love that, man. This is Dark Side of the Pooch. You can hear it every single Monday through Friday right here on Tony Curry Radio. We're happy to give it to you 5 days a week right here at 7 p.m. Central Time. That's Monday through Friday. And also, of course, wherever you get your podcast, Tony Curry Radio Podcast. That's TKR, Curry with a K, Tony Curry Radio Podcast. And always brought to you by Ed's Pet World. Do you have any birds? Have you ever had any birds?
I've never had any birds because I feel like they're really messy, and my kids are messy enough. Maybe yeah. I would like to have a bird one day because they're really cool, but I just have too much to clean up as it is.
They got an awesome cockatoo down there. I've never seen a cockatoo down there. Of course, they're home of exotic pets. They got everything from all kinds of tortoises and turtles and different types of fish and tarantulas and chinchillas and ferrets and I mean, they got it all. Plus, Seth, of course, goes all over the country looking for great toys, unopened, still in the box, vintage collectible toys, watches, the whole nine yards, Star Wars stuff. He's got it all down there. So if you find something in the attic that's still boxed up, or maybe it's not, you want to trade it in, you can do that at Ed's Pet World. They've been in business for over 50 years. They do fantastic work. How do you reach the Rossbridge Animal Hospital? Well, first of all, you go to Rossbridge, or you can call them at 205-208-0301 at Rossbridge Vet on Twitter, the Rossbridge Animal Hospital right there on Facebook. I'm going to get right into it. Only the second time in the last 100 years in Australia last week, this happened when a pet what killed his 77-year-old owner?
What pet killed its owner?
Yeah.
A snake of some kind.
It was a kangaroo. The last time Whoa. It happened, that's pretty amazing, though, really. When you talk about Australia, you would think there would be more deaths from kangaroos over the course of 100 years. The last one that happened was 1936. And basically, they don't kick you to death. They put you in a headlock.
And what?
Yeah. Veterinarians are like, listen, kangaroos will put you in a headlock, and they just beat you senseless. They ended up shooting this 3-year-old kangaroo because once it had beaten its owner up, it wouldn't allow animal control to get near the owner to save his life. So they shot it and killed the 77-year-old. So kind of bizarre stuff. So I thought it'd be kind of fun to go through a list of 12 animals that caused the most deaths. You into this?
Good one. I like it. Yeah, I'm ready. Yeah. I'm not going to know the answers, but if we're going to do a quiz or something, I'm in.
Okay, and this counts for insects too. So I will ask you, do you know which, and I'll tell you right now, it's an insect. What insect kills more people than any other animal on Earth every year?
An insect kills more? I guess in a roundabout way, this probably isn't true, but it's got to be the mosquito.
It is the mosquito. It kills 1 million people every single year. And then to be fair, humans are considered animals. We kill 475,000 of our own every single year.
That's less than I would have thought, to be honest.
You would think. Do you want to give me number 3? And you said it right top of the show.
Snakes.
Yeah, snakes kill 50,000 people. And then number 4? You see them every day.
I guess dogs. Yes. I'm going to guess dogs.
Yes, dogs, 25,000. You're doing good. Because you're never going to guess this, 10,000 people a year die from tsetse flies or freshwater snail bites.
Tsetse flies, yeah. That carries a really bad disease that I cannot. It's some kind of like dengue fever, maybe?
Yeah, I think you're right. But I didn't know about the freshwater snail. We caught a snail down at the beach, and it was actually inside of a shell. I found the shell, and I thought it was a big shell, and I thought, wow, this is really cool. It was one of those cylinder kind of shells. And all of a sudden, this long antenna came out, and I come to find out that it was a poisonous snail. And if it stings you, it can cause some serious harm. It could actually kill you.
I was going to ask you what the problem was with the snail, and I guess it's just poisonous, like stings.
Oh, and I had this thing crawling up and down my arm and everything because it was huge. It was super cool. But when that stinger comes out, man, you want to stay with tapeworms, kill 2,500, crocodiles, 1,000. And then do you want to take a stab at the last 5 at all?
Last 5. Well, So we're talking just pets, right?
No, we're just talking animals.
Okay, animals, period. Hippos.
Yeah, hippos. Very good. Hippos kill 500. You got four more to go.
I don't know. I guess I'll say in the jungle, lions?
Lions? You are so good. Lions and elephants both kill 100. Now you got two left.
Are there any more insects on there?
No.
All right. I don't know.
A wolf kills 10 and a shark kills 9.
I should have guessed a shark. That was silly enough to guess.
So there you have it. And kangaroos obviously kill 2 in a course of a 100-year period in Australia. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. We got some great emails. We got some follow-up emails from last week's show. We had the most listened show we ever had last week, by the way.
All right.
People are loving it. It's growing every single week. It's great. And of course, a lot of people don't have time to listen to it every single night at 7 o'clock here on TKR. And it's fine. That's why I put it up on podcast. I search Tony Curry Radio Podcast and you can listen to any of the shows. So we'll get into some of these coming up in a second. I did want to mention this show is being recorded here on Monday, the day that we laid the queen to rest, rest in peace. But we had a great email here from Sissy in Pleasant Grove that had to do something with the queen. She heard our show last week talking about the corgi. She said, do dogs grieve when they lose their owners? You know, we always think that owners grieve, obviously, when we lose our pets, but sometimes it's just the opposite. Normally, it is someone that's of upper age, and the queen was 96. But do dogs grieve the loss of their owners? And if they do, how can we help them?
I can only go with what people have told me, because dogs can behave in a way to make you think one way or another, but you're not going to know definitively because they can't tell you that they're sad or they're depressed or whatever. But people over the years have told me that when a family member dies or when another pet dies, they feel like that their pet is mourning and isn't as active as it has been in the past, or is not eating much as it has in the past. And who's to say that that is not true? Yeah. Some of it might be, you know, projected potentially, you know, because we get sad when a pet dies, and we get sad when, you know, someone in our household dies, a person dies. So I think that I've had enough people tell me that they feel like that their dog is having emotional changes when that happens. So I feel like that they do get sad, but it's hard to say for sure.
Yeah, I want to say that they do because we talk about man's, you know, best friend, and we are so close to our animals. But I also think it may have something to do with how losing a human being, a pet, has to change its routine. Maybe it's used to, I got like Frisco dog, loves to take a nap every day around 12:30. He likes to sit in my lap. He knows exactly, he gets all excited. He knows I'm going to sit in my chair for 30 minutes. He gets excited. Maybe the way they're fed, maybe if they're walked. How important is it to keep that routine for those animals? And I'm using the four corgis, obviously, that obviously the queen had, because now all of a sudden their world's turned upside down.
The routine is very important because if a dog doesn't get its treat at the same time or fed at the same time or let out at the same time, they're going to get anxious, and anxiety can create a whole host of other problems. So, you know, routine is important, but it's, you know, if you have to break the routine for one thing or another, you know, people still have lives, and your kids have baseball games and softball games and dance and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And you and your spouse have lives. So, you know, it's you want to maintain that routine. But at the same time, I've had people get really wrapped up in, for example, a dog is on a medication and it's made to be given 3 times a day, which is, you know, basically every 8 hours. Mm-hmm. And I've had people get just really tied up in a knot over, oh, I can't do it every 8 hours because I have to work or I have school. And it really bothers them that they can't do it. But that's just a part of life. And in situations like that, you just do the best you can. And yeah, if you can't hit it exactly, just hit it as close as you can.
There it is, Dark Side of the Pooch. He is Dr. Rab Stewart from the Dark Side of the Pooch Rossbridge Animal Hospital show. And of course, we get after it every single Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock Central Time on Tony Curry Radio, wherever you get your podcast. We're on every major industry out there. So you will find us, Tony Curry Radio Podcast. Look for Dark Side of the Pooch. Make sure you put Of the Pooch on there and you'll find our show. Also, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. info@TonyCurryRadio.net. A lot of follow-up emails we'll get into today, including this one here from Caden in Tupelo. He had heard the story about how why your dog always runs away. He's like, man, if the veterinarian's dog's running away, I got, I've got some major issues. And we talked last week about what does that say about that dog? Is the dog not happy? Is it pretending like it's being beaten? Is it not being fed right? No, sometimes dogs just like to run away. So he said, what's the best tool to use to find your dog if it's a dog that runs away? Are there chips? Are there GPS trackings? What's the, is there a GoPro, or is this something you can put in or on your dog to make sure you know exactly where it is 24 hours a day? And can you do something through your phone?
This is a very timely question. Just this morning, we had a puppy come in and he had a GPS tracker on his collar.
Oh yeah.
And well, it was a female dog, so the owner was a male, but on the dog's collar. So the female dog had a collar on her. And it was really interesting because I commented on it and he said, you know, the crazy thing is that company sent me this collar that I did not order. And I contacted him and said, hey, I didn't order this. And they said, no problem, just keep it. And he said a couple months later, they got a dog. So it worked out perfectly. They got the collar
there you go.
Before they got the dog. But yes, there are really cool collars that can track their steps and their heartbeat. And it can be a GPS tracker if they were to run away. And there's a bunch of them out there. And, you know, if you so desire, you can look into that. The problem with those collars is they can be taken off or they can fall off, and then you're left with not knowing where your dog is. So the tried and true method of being able to get your dog back if it ever runs away. And again, this method isn't foolproof either, but it's getting a microchip implanted. The microchips are about the size of a grain of rice. It goes right under their skin via a needle, so they don't have to be anesthetized for it. It's not a surgical procedure. That microchip can be scanned by a microchip reader. Every veterinary practice will have one. Every humane society will have one. And any lost pet that winds up at a practice or winds up in a humane society, they will be scanned with the scanner. And if they have a microchip, the microchip number will pop up. And then the practice or the humane society will call the company, and then the company will call the owner who that chip number is registered to. So there's really no great foolproof method because the collars can fall off or be removed. And if the pet is microchipped, if they don't find their way to a veterinary practice or humane society, then they may never get reunited. But those are the two best ways. And it's, I would encourage everyone to have their pet microchipped, and it's not expensive to get that done and also have it registered nationally. The client that I talked to this morning, he said that the free collar that they got was actually a $300 collar. So those things are kind of expensive. So not everybody can have the luxury of having that, but the microchip is very economical, much less than $300, depending on where you have it done.
And again, with the microchip, that works great, assuming again that it's someone finds it and takes it to a veterinarian or takes to a dog pound or somewhere where they could scan those things. Obviously, if your dog is stolen or it's hit by a car, unfortunately, or just gets lost in the woods and can't find a way back, it doesn't do any good. Is there any type of chip that you could put in your animal that has some type of GPS thing where you can actually see where your dog is, regardless of whether it's chip or not? Is there a GPS that you can actually install in your animal?
Not that I'm aware of, but
that would be cool.
I'm sure it's probably coming. But I'll tell you one thing: they're never going to put one of those things in me without a fight.
You may already have one in there, brother. You just don't know it, man.
Oh, now that'd be something, wouldn't it? We just need to write a movie. Write a movie about that.
I have always wanted to put a GoPro on my Lizzie, my blue heeler, which is not over here. It's over my ex's. But that dog always runs away, and I've always wondered where the hell it goes. I know it goes in our backyard. I know it goes down to the horse pasture, but sometimes it'll come back 3 or 4 hours later, and I'm like, I want to know where that dog went. It would be kind of cool. All right, Dan in Fort Worth, can dogs sleep with their eyes open?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, my dog will do it from time to time. Yeah, easy answer.
All right. And I actually saw Rainer, my other dog, the other night. He was snoring out. He was like chopping logs. And I went over there and his eyes were wide open. His tongue was hanging out of his mouth. And he was snoring, man. He was loving it. Hey, before we get to some more emails, you know, Tony, info@TonyCurryRadio.net, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. And of course, again, brought to you by Ed's Pet World. This is Rossbridge Animal Hospital's Dark Side of the Pooch. You can contact Dr. Rev for any of your things. If you need someone to watch your pet, border them or something like that, make sure you call them early because they're always packed up. 205-208-0301. They're the best. Rossbridge Vet on Twitter and the Rossbridge Animal Hospital on Facebook. I saw this story that just came out just before we started our show today. The pet foods ingredient market right now is valued at $32.2 billion a year. It's going to go up to $44.5 billion by 2027. And of course, a lot of people are saying why. It's an increased spending on health types of foods in the focus, or it's health-focused pet food increase, should I say. And I think it's interesting because you almost can't turn the TV on and not see, first of all, there's delivery services. I get that. But as far as in stuff that now goes in the refrigerator and it's pure, it's organic, they're getting away from the dusted stuff. You're getting away from the Purina style type of dog food. Does it make that big of a difference in your dog's health? If it's got more healthy food?
I think that the healthiest foods are the kind of that have been around for so long. Everything is about marketing, and you know, lots of companies and lots of products have really great marketing, and I would put dog food up there with, I mean, just some of the best marketers ever. Yeah. Because that's basically all it is.
They tear your heart out. They make it sound like dogs hate that crunchy stuff, and they love it, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, that's all it is. And look, if there are some people that have a really hard time feeding their dog the same thing over and over again, and the stuff that just, you know, looks like it's just commercially produced, mass produced, looks like it'd be the most bland, boring stuff ever. But it really is the healthiest thing that you can feed your dog, depending on which brand you choose. If your dog likes to eat a new food that's one of these refrigerated foods and it looks like actual food that people would eat, I'm not going to tell you not to get that, because, you know, maybe it is something that makes your dog, his appetite or her appetite, go crazy, or cat. But for me, I have fed my dog Purina food for their whole lives. And, you know, my dog is still at the bowl twice a day waiting for us to feed him. I know the ingredients that are in there. I know that everything is where it needs to be, the vitamins, the minerals. And, you know, these dog food companies do not pay me. And I'll be honest with you, I would love to just totally be out and not carry a single bag of dog food in my office.
Yeah.
But we do it because our clients need it, you know, and it's all marketing with dog food. So I would say that just pick whatever you feel like your dog or cat likes and make it something that, you know, they're having normal bowel movements and they're formed and they're not having GI problems, they're not vomiting, and stick with that. The more you change it up, the more likely your pet is going to get some GI problems, which is going to put you in a veterinary practice and make you spend money. So find a food that they like. If they, you know, if they eat it, stick with it. If they stop eating it, give them 48 hours. Don't feed them anything else. Don't rush out to another store and get another food, because then if they do eat it, they're just training you to spend a bunch of money and get a different food time after time. But if you have a small dog, obviously you may not want to wait 48 hours, because then they could have a problem with their glucose, their blood sugar get too low. But if you have a medium, a large breed dog, and they turn their nose up for a day, just give it time. If it goes 2 days, then you probably need to get into a veterinarian and be sure they don't have a GI problem or an ailment or, you know, an injury or something that's making them not feel good. But otherwise, don't let the dog train you.
Yeah, you got to consider that dogs, you're talking about an animal that will eat its poop sometimes. They'll eat socks. They'll eat condoms. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And so if you put down a bowl of something that looks like it's fresh out of the refrigerator, you're right. They're going to absolutely love it. They're going to look at it and you're going to think you're being a better pet owner. Are they going to live any longer? I'm not so sure. You know, it's funny because now when you used to only have like four or five brand name pet foods and they were all the same, and now there's just a million. There's Hairball stuff for cats. I don't even know if it works. Hairball science diet, where you, and it's just incredibly crazy when you're trying to get your dog to lose weight which is interesting because there is some science diet stuff like that. And I don't know what's different about it outside a regular bag of dog food. But if you're still giving it the same amount of food, is it not going to continue to get fat if you're not walking it and taking care of it?
Well, there's a lot of prescription-based diets that are for certain ailments, and I stand behind those. Foods for like if your pet is prone to having bladder stones or kidney disease or liver disease or even a dermatological problem or GI disease, then these prescription diets that are made by reputable food companies, we recommend every day. But it's these other brands that just have, you know, a lot of advertising and, you know, nice looking packaging. You know, those are the kinds that, for me, it's just all about marketing and that's it. But we've had pets that have really turned around from having ailments because of certain prescription based diets, because if you have a dog that's overweight, there's going to be a prescription-based diet that probably has more fiber in it so that they feel full and they're not eating as much. So they can be satisfied and not eat as many calories because it's just an added fiber. And there's foods, like I said, for kidney problems, and the protein is altered because the more proteins that go through the kidneys further damage the kidneys. So diets like that are really important if they have a medical condition.
If you eat healthy and you're feeding the dog from the table every night, is that okay? Or are there things in dog food that dogs must have?
There are things in dog food that they're not going to get from table scraps. And most notably taurine. Dogs and cats, and dogs need taurine, but cats need it even more. It helps with cardiac, their heart health. So if you're just feeding your pet leftovers, they're missing out on some things that are not in our food, but they are in dog food.
There you go. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net for your emails, brought to you by Ed's Pet World down there in Homewood. For nearly 50 years, I've been doing exotic pets and now do toys. Of course, you can find Rossbridge Animal Hospital on Twitter at Rossbridge Vet and Rossbridge Animal Hospital on Facebook. Stella in Louisville was listening last week. It sure heard you talking about Dinosaur Jr. She asked Dr. Rab, what's your favorite bands that are named after animals outside fish?
Well, I guess you'd have to put Dinosaur Jr. up there.
Yeah. We got Steppenwolf. I pulled a couple because I was thinking we got the Eagles, we got the Scorpions, we got Turtles, we got the Beatles, Whitesnake, the Monkees, Three Dog Night. There's
the
a bunch
Beatles
of them.
The Beatles have to be way up there. I mean, I guess if like in importance of music, the Beatles may be number one. Now, they're not my favorite to listen to, but they're really good. So I would say, you know, if the Beatles are not number one in my favorite, you know, bands to listen to, they are definitely number one on the way that they influenced music. So them, and then the Eagles. I have a love-hate relationship with the Eagles because I guess maybe it's just that they're so good and they've been played so much that, some of their songs are tough to listen to. Like I could go the rest of my life without listening to Hotel California or Witchy Woman. You know, I can go the rest of my life without hearing those songs. But the Eagles do have some classic songs that are really good and I could listen to over and over again. So the Eagles are up there. The Scorpions, not so much. Whitesnake, not so much.
You seem to be like a White Lion guy to me.
What? Say that again.
White Lion. What? You seem to be like a white, White Lion. Didn't they have a song called Cry or something? It was a big hit. White Lion. Don't you remember White Lion?
I don't remember White Lion.
Well, you need to pull up White Lion. It's good. No, the song's I think it's called Wait.
Okay, I'm going to pull it up after the show. White Lion. I'm going to listen to it and I'll come back.
Do that. Tiffany in Knoxville said, wow, what a great show last week. I learned about the sex of turtles. And she said for years she's been allergic to cats and now she found out she ain't allergic to cats. She's allergic to their saliva, to their spit. She wants to hear some other Dr. Rab nuggets that she never knew about. Do you have I mean, and you've given out some things. That was pretty amazing. I really, if you asked anybody, I bet you 99% of the people out there didn't realize they're not allergic to cats, they're allergic to their saliva. I had no clue. I thought that was a great little nugget.
Yeah, I mean, I probably have more nuggets than I can think of right now. But the only I mean, one of the ones that pops into mind just because it's happened recently is, and this is maybe more interesting than like earth shattering. But we have, if anyone out there could use this fact, we have a lot of people come into our office that are convinced that their dog has worms.
Uh-huh.
But the worms are getting, are invading the poop after the dog poops.
Oh.
And the worms are from the environment. And these worms look more like slugs. And so, you know, people are real concerned because, you know, if your dog poops and you're not, you know, most people in our area, they have a fenced in backyard. And so the dog goes out and it poops and the owner's inside. They don't need to be outside with the dog.
Yeah.
But then later on that day or maybe the next day, they're out there scooping the poop out of the yard and they see, you know, these slugs on it. So if you see kind of like brown slugs on the poop, it's most likely not a parasite. Things that are parasites are, they look like spaghetti noodles. Mm-hmm. Those are probably roundworms. If they kind of look like super thin and even shorter, you know, maybe like an inch long, those could be hookworms. And if you see things that look like grains of rice, those are tapeworm segments. So that's just something recently that we've dealt with. And so that's probably fresh on my mind. So that's one thing.
And is the consistency of the poop about the same, or is it more runny, or does the tapeworm change that?
They can have, it really just kind of depends because dogs can have totally normal stool and have parasites.
Yeah.
And they can, you know, it just kind of depends on how many they have and, you know, what the effect is on their body. Just like anything else, some dogs are really hardy and you'd never see, you know, any difference in their stool.
Any good shows you're going to see anytime soon?
I'm going to see The War on Drugs a week from when we were recording this episode.
Nice.
And I would say they're a rock band, but they're kind of like an indie kind of, they don't rock too hard. And then in October, I'm going to go see Marcus King. And anybody out there that's listening right now, Marcus King has an opener and his name is Neil Francis. And he is an incredible rock and roll pianist, keyboard player. And I don't know this guy. I wish I did because that's how incredible he is. But if you have any urge to go see Marcus King and it's late October, yep, don't go late and skip the opener because Neil Francis, he's been all over. Rolling Stone's been writing about him. And I mean, he's incredible.
All right. Where's it? Where are they playing at?
Avondale.
Okay. All right. I may have to go check out that show with you.
Yeah.
Great stuff. There is Dr. Rab Stewart. It's always brought to you by Ed's Pet World, home for exotic pets now for nearly 50 years. They've got every exotic pet. They got chinchillas. They got ferrets. They got a cockatoo down there. It's beautiful. They got a legu. I mean, they got all kinds of really cool stuff. We just like to go walk through the joint. I bought a lot of stuff down there too, but they got wonderful stuff. And as you walk through, you'll realize there's just a boatload of toys too. Seth did a wonderful job traveling the world, pulling all kinds of vintage collectible toys, stuff still in the box, watches, the whole nine yards, Star Wars stuff. If you got some stuff up in the attic, you want to buy, sell, or trade, they'll do it with you down at Ed's Pet World. It's about 50-50 now, toys to pets down there at Ed's Pet World. Check them out. They do wonderful work, and we love having them on here with Dark Side of the Pooch. You can find Dr. Rab Stewart at the Rossbridge Animal Hospital, 208-0301, 208-0301, Rossbridge Vet on Twitter, and the Rossbridge Animal Hospital on Facebook. Doc, as always, great stuff. We'll get back into it next week, man.
Great show. Thanks, Tony.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.